deserve love, then you deserve love. So by you accepting the truth for yourself, you've accepted the truth for everybody else. Now, whether or not they've accepted it for themselves, that's part of their spiritual mission and purpose. But you have accepted the truth for everybody. But the problem is sometimes we accept the truth for ourselves, and then we act like it's not true for everybody else too. I'll accept that I'm responsible for my feelings, but then I turn around and act like I'm responsible for everybody else's feelings. I'll say that I'm a child of God in love, and that I'm this unlimited spiritual being, which is what we're being taught. But then I act like my friends, my brother, my sister, my boss, everybody else is like these human being victims who are totally different from myself. So if you've truly accepted the truth for yourself, then you've simultaneously accepted the truth for everybody else. Now, as you well know, there are a lot of people who use sickness as a way of life. They use misery as a way of life. They use unhappiness as a way of life. They use problems as a way of life. You just, every time you see them, they got a problem, right? Don't you know some people who use sickness as a way of life? That's the way they define their experience. I'm not enough. I'm a victim, I'm separate, I'm full of lack, I've got this problem. The court says then a person like that is really a person that believes healing is the way to death. If sickness is life, then healing is death. If lack is the way I live, then abundance will frighten me. If fear is the way that I live, somebody loving me, I'm running away. And you see it all the time. You express love to somebody who don't believe they've ever experienced it and don't believe it's possible. They don't come towards you. They go away from you because they know how to deal in a world full of fear and suspicion and distrust. They don't know how to open up and deal with a relationship that's full of love and trust. So a person who doesn't love is not really able to cope with a person who does love because they believe an unloving reality is the way of life. So the Course says a person who actually has a sudden healing might go into intense depression and a sense of loss so deep they might even try to kill themselves. They're so used to being miserable that if they had an immediate healing, they would actually become more frightened than they're frightened of the situation. For instance, if you're in a relationship with somebody and they constantly emotionally abuse you and mentally abuse you, and there's something in you that takes that and is attracted to that and sticks with that, then if that person was to walk in one day and instead of criticizing you, they were to walk in and go, I love you, the most fantastic thing I've ever seen. You're perfect. You're gorgeous. Look what I brought for you. You're just the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. You go, wait a minute, I'll be right back. And then you ease on back out the door and call 911. You know what I'm saying? Because what? Why? Because the truth is, this is a sudden healing. If I think I've got it all figured out, even if I had it all figured out in my misery, and I get an intense experience of love and truth, the Course says this might precipitate depression and a sense of loss that the person might try to destroy themselves. Because they're used to life being a struggle and them trying to go out like it's a battle. Do you know that whenever you believe that life should be a struggle, you subconsciously create struggle situations in order to assure yourself that you are powerful? See, thoughts are created, and everything we believe and focus on is what we manifest in the physical world. But there's a lag time between when we conceive of an idea and when it manifests, and so we often forget that we're the ones that set into motion the things we're physically experiencing. And we also have not been taught that our subconscious mind is actually producing the physical things that we are drawing to us and that we are perceiving. So a lot of us are unaware of most of our thoughts. When you ask a person what they think, in most cases what they're telling you is just what they're focusing on in the moment, but not necessarily what they really believe at a deep level. It's sort of like an iceberg where the smallest part is above the surface, but we know the larger part is below. That's us. So what you think of as you is the tip of the iceberg. What you say you believe is the tip of the iceberg. And what you don't see, that's what sank the Titanic. You know what I'm saying? So what's sinking you every day are the subconscious thoughts, beliefs, and emotions that you're not aware of, that you're in denial about. And so when you study something like the Course in Miracles, it's very powerful because you're really doing a lot of shadow work. You're really looking at the stuff in your mind that most people refuse to look at. The positive thinking thing is great. It's wonderful. Feeling good is great. People love to go to classes and go to churches and everything is positive, 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 positive. And there's a positive loving side to this too. But the problem is, unless you deal with all of your beliefs and allow all of your beliefs to be healed, you'll be one of these nice people who always have something happening to them that they think is unfair. The nice person that's getting a disease, the nice person that loses their job, the nice person that they may cheat. You're just the nicey person that everything happens to. And that person is a person who is out of touch with their own subconscious beliefs. And it's their subconscious beliefs that are producing the situations in their life that they don't understand where they're coming from, so they project it on someone or something outside themselves. Everybody hear that? That's deep. But this isn't the elementary level of teaching the truth. I think anybody that comes to my class, they're ready to go beyond the elementary level of hearing the truth. You can, just like this is a big thing now about this CD called The Secret, which is great. It's great to hear about how you can manifest and how you can draw things. But if that's true, then that's true about all your thoughts. It's not just true about the part of your thought that wants a brand new car. Your thoughts don't just pick and choose what to manifest. You know, they don't go, oh, okay, we'll manifest the car, but we won't manifest the belief that nothing goes right. We'll manifest the thought that he wants a house, but we won't manifest the thought that he can't trust anybody, so therefore draw people to him that betray him. See, they're not dealing with all of the thoughts. But it's good to start there, because at some point, mass consciousness does need to recognize that there's a connection between thought and reality. So I love that this idea is being introduced. And the best way to get people excited about something is when you appeal to their desire for toys. That's why in the DVD, it's all about the little boy trying to get the bicycle, because we liked it. But my bicycle is a Lexus. You know, my bicycle is a trip to L.A. My bicycle is wanting to go to the... We're no different. We're just bigger kids. And we want our toys, too. And we love stuff to tell us about our toys, but we don't like that part that says, wait a minute, you're this all-powerful being, and if you have a core belief in your guilt and your separation from God and your unworthiness, that belief manifests itself in the form of fearful, struggling events that you don't like in your life. But there's a way to get beyond all of that. That's to heal your relationship with Source. That's to heal your relationship with God. That takes you beyond all of it. But that doesn't turn the average person on as much as, let me focus on my relationship with Source. Let me focus on a brand new house. I'm going for the house. The average person is going for the house. Because that's something physical and tangible that I think I can see. God still seems somewhat like some nebulous idea. But we don't realize we did not create ourselves. You didn't create yourself. And it certainly wasn't your mother and father getting together doing the wild thing that did it either. All that did was created a way for your body to be born, which is nothing but your communication vehicle, so that you could come into the experience and learn the spiritual lessons that you're here to learn. But they didn't give birth to you. What created you created you. They were the means for you to get here. Sort of like when this garden after birth, after child is born. It was very important to get the child here, but once the child is here, they discarded, right? And in a sense, that's what happens to the physical bodies that produce us. The physical bodies that produce us, at some point, they leave the earth because they've served their purpose, which was to bring us in and learn their own spiritual lessons. So my point in saying this is that it's time for us to let go of childish ideas about what we are. It's time for us to get in touch with our true identity. And our true identity is not our human form. Our true identity is not you are so-and-so's son and so-and-so's daughter. You're more than a mother. You're more than a father. You're more than a brother. You're more than an uncle. You're more than a man. I'm more than a black guy named Earl Purdy. That's just the role that I'm playing to express and how to give and receive love in this experience. You know, I went to the body store and got me a chocolate suit. That's okay. You know, you went to the body store and you got you a vanilla suit. That's cool too. You know what I'm saying? But we get caught up. You know, when you go home today and you take your coat off, for people who believe your coat is you, they would say you died, have a funeral for your coat, and have it in the casket. That's the same as thinking you a body. That's the exact same thing. We go to a funeral to recognize the coat. And some people think that's the person, and they think they're looking down at the person. Just use the analogy of looking down at a coat, and like these clothes, and like y'all go to my class and my clothes are there, and y'all go.